the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. The saved and burnt shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Welcome to the Lord's Challenge, our weekly quarter-hour broadcast, bringing the reality of God's Word to all people everywhere. Stay tuned as Joshua Daniel challenges us to a walk with God and the corresponding impact that'll have on our lives, families, and society today.
Dear friends, I want to take you to a very familiar portion of Scripture, which practically all of you would know. James 5th chapter 16th verse. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years. And 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brothers, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. He shall save a soul from death. The prayer, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, friends, when we lift up clean hands and a pure heart in prayer, things should happen. And when God moves, we don't expect him to work with little crucibles or thimbles. God does not say, fetch me your thimble, I'll fill it. No. When God answers, it's always in such a way you say, Lord, I can't hold it anymore. Stay your hand, I can't hold it anymore. You know, that's how God visits his people with abundance. But our expectations from God have become minuscule. It's very sad. We hardly expect him to work or move. And that's not faith. You know, when we are talking about faith, you must talk in concrete terms. I always come down to the concrete and say, when I see that the overwhelming tasks are before me, I say, Lord, my faith is not enough. My faith is too small. I'm constantly saying that. And I want to tell you, there is nothing wrong in your admitting that and asking God, as the disciples did, Lord, increase our faith. Yes, today's problems are such that unless our faith rises, we will not be able to cope. I have seen many cases of faith, and faith employed by very simple, ordinary people. I remember an agricultural worker. He was not a big official, but a very small type of official. He had two children, and one of them died. It was very hard for the family because she had had a family planning operation, and so they said, we can't have any more children. However, they prayed, and she conceived. Her faith overcame whatever needed to be overcome. I dedicated that boy to the Lord. You see how that family exercised faith, and the Lord rewarded them accordingly. I know another man who said to me, here is an old mill. It is no longer in use, but it can be turned into a prayer hall in this village. And the man is wealthy and he's asking for a big price. Here was a very ordinary, poor evangelist, a man who had been an idolater before. I went and dedicated it with an overflowing crowd around it, besides filling it. I was amazed at the man's faith. In a very poor environment, having hardly anything, that is faith looking unto the Lord. By the time we go through all these usual methods of calling for a finance committee and packing it with big people who are on the point of insolvency themselves. You know, these big fellows, they overinvest and soon become insolvent too. But the idea is, you know, we need to get some big people on the board. But big people and faith never go together. I say, you know how to run your business. You have hardly know how to run the Church of Jesus. And in fact, you're not even required to do so. Jesus said, I will build my church. So I always bounce the ball back into the Lord's court and say, Lord, there you are. You said you will build the church. So you do it. So, dear friends, whatever our minds are struggling with, the hurdles of faith, let us know the Lord has promised to make us overcomers. Faith. So there are a variety of needs, I'm sure. But please let us distinguish between material needs and mundane needs and eternal goals. Today, I don't know how many people actually pray. Sweet hour of prayer. Probably that song was composed when people did pray for an hour. But it's no longer the case. It is only a sentiment expressed from the old days. How sad, how sad. And you know, people can talk, 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 talk. One of the first things the Lord did for me was to clamp my chattering lips. You know, I don't even tell people the goals because many of them set an opposite current. Their faith doesn't match. So they set an opposite current, and so I can't tell people some of the immense goals which the Lord sets before me. Always, the danger of our halls is that they prove inadequate. My trust is not in concrete or in buildings. I often say, if it was just a thatch-roofed place, who would come? In the event of a drenching rain, the raindrops will percolate, come down upon them. But who would come then? The real Christians would be present. So floods and all kinds of things don't bother me in the least. I see them wading through the waters or somehow getting there. So modern conveniences, the automobile and so on, are really no guarantee of the people actually taking the effort to overcome climatic conditions and come. But if the heart is willing, they will come. If there is hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be there. Now that's the class of people we want, you see. Not the people who say, if it is convenient. No. What does the Lord Jesus say next? He that saveth himself shall lose his soul. And he that loseth himself will save his life. That's what the Lord Jesus said. The same which he said after the giving the qualifications of disciples. Today we don't include that at all in discipleship. He that loseth his life for my sake and the gospel, he will gain it. We're always afraid, I may lose this, I may lose that, I may lose that. But Jesus put it very plainly as the condition, he that loseth his life for my sake. So, my dear friends, let us not get into our own version of things. You know, I go to the Word and say, this is what your word says, and I am going to humble myself. You see, after all, am I greater than the word of God? Am I there to amend the word of God and tailor it in such a way as to suit my convenience? That's what most of us have done. We have no right to do so. So, when we go into the Lord's presence, oh, it is good to humble ourselves underneath the mighty hand of God. God says, humble thyself, and in due season he will exalt you. And I tell the Lord, I don't need exaltation. I don't want exaltation. You be exalted, that's enough. But I shall humble myself.
The speaker on this program was Joshua Daniel. He would like to know what your response has been to the Lord's challenge and would be delighted to hear from you. Please write, and if you have burdens you want to share and want prayer, do let us know. You can reach us on the World Wide Web at lefi.org, or else you can mail us at The Lord's Challenge, P.O. Box 14, South Lyon, Michigan, 48178, or in Canada, P.O. Box 31002, Windsor, Ontario, N9G2Y2. We are continually reaching out to millions in many countries, and we appreciate and we need your continuing prayerful support.